Hey, you want that to go?
We've got news takeouts from two of our regulars. Luis Story, New York Times finance reporter, is here in the studio along with Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, our takeaway sports contributor. Good morning to both of you.
Morning.
We begin with a business story with Luis by acknowledging a somber sort of reality for people who not only lost their jobs this year. We were talking a lot about this at the end of the winter and early spring, but lost a livelihood that they might have had for, in some cases, 30 years. When the auto companies were in such trouble, the auto dealers were in even more trouble. And in our business takeout today, Congress is trying to push Chrysler and General Motors into arbitration with hundreds of former car dealers who are hoping to get something out of having been abandoned by the car companies. Chrysler may throw up some roadblocks to this legislation. Louise Story, what's going on here?
So if you remember, John, when Chrysler was really getting into trouble, the executives there asked their dealers to buy more and more of the cars. And they said, buy our cars. That's how we're going to get through this. And then a lot of dealers were stuck with cars they couldn't sell. And then GM and Chrysler shut a lot of these dealers down. So this has been a very tense issue and, in fact, a political one because a lot of these dealers have gone to their congressmen and complained about this. So in this bill that the president signed this week, a spending bill, there is a provision in there that requires GM and Chrysler to go to arbitration with these dealers to settle or perhaps to let some open back up. But what we're seeing is Chrysler's CEO is saying this is unconstitutional. This is the government meddling in our business. And he said literally it will wreak havoc on our business to have this.
Now, can GM make that argument? Because the government actually owns...
That's Chrysler making
that argument. Right, but I mean, Chrysler's making this argument.
Yes.
They're owned by Fiat now, but can GM make the same argument? Because they're owned by the federal government.
So Chrysler is 10% owned by the government. And in fact, Chrysler has more bailout money than GM. But GM, you're right, is 60% owned by the government, far more. And GM said in a statement yesterday that they have not decided yet how they will react to this provision. So that's unclear, you know, if they'll just go along with it or not and how the government ownership changes the equation.
Well, thousands of dealers on pins and needles all over the country
as
this gets resolved. Luis Story, thanks so much.
Now let's go to Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. The Colts did it barely, barely, but they pulled it out last night. They beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 35-31, keeping their undefeated record. How did this happen?
Well, first of all, Peyton Manning knows when to throw the ball. And I think that that's one of the most important things about his game. He knows who to throw it to. He has a bevy of very talented receivers, and they catch the ball in traffic, but he also places the ball extremely well so that they can run with the ball afterwards. So when you talk about what Peyton Manning does, he knows how to throw the ball, when to throw it, and when to make it effective in the stride of the receiver.
The other game coming, I mean, we have the Indianapolis Colts still undefeated, although, as we said, barely. But we've got the other undefeated team, the New Orleans Saints. They're getting ready to play this weekend. They're going to play Dallas. That should be a really exciting game.
So that's a question to see. Is it the old America's team versus the new America's team? ESPN called them the new America's team.
The New Orleans Saints.
And the New Orleans Saints, correct. And I think that the whole country can also rally around the story of New Orleans. They've never won the Super Bowl. So this is an exciting game. And obviously, I think Drew Brees and company is poised to win this one. Mm-hmm. But Dallas could come out. They've had a couple tough losses. So they could come out really a little, like I said yesterday, surly. Jacksonville came out a little surly, and Dallas could come out a little surly against New Orleans.
Although Dallas has a horrible record in December.
Indeed, right? Indeed.
But these are both teams that will be in the playoffs.
As of now, these teams will be in the playoffs, definitely.
So what else is going on? I mean, that's obviously the big game that, you know, a lot of people are going to be watching that game. But what else should we be watching this weekend?
The games that I'm watching, the San Francisco versus the Philadelphia Eagles, I really want to see if the San Francisco offense led by Frank Gore, who rushed for 162 yards last week, if they can come and punch out a win against the Eagles. Why? Because I'm a Giants fan and I want to see the Giants get to the playoffs. Also, the Miami Dolphins versus the Tennessee Titans. I really like the Dolphins and the Titans. These two teams have the best rushing attacks in the league. So if you want to see old-fashioned football, this is the game
and
to watch.
And the Titans have turned it around.
They have turned it around.
Watching them begin to win has
it's
been
exciting.
Kind of exciting.
Yeah.
Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, thanks so much. And Luis Story.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Our last takeout is some long, sad wind on fine print when we mentioned the idea of student loans.
My name is Mary Reed. I am from Columbia, South Carolina, and I'm a 31-year-old student who recently graduated with my master's in counseling, and I owe $37,000 in student loans. Went back for a master's so that I could earn more money. Currently not using my master's because I can't find a job, and income-based student loan repayment doesn't take into account any of your other loans that you might have, like a mortgage or a car payment. So that's really frustrating.
She's not the only one frustrated with this by far.
My name is Andrew. I'm calling from Goodman, Missouri. I have student loans that are private through Sallie Mae. Since they are private loans, they do not qualify for the new Obama administration's student repayment terms for federally subsidized loans that allow your payments to be 15% or less of your monthly income. I've been unemployed since June, and my lender has not been willing to work with me in any way, shape, or form, and even requires you to pay in advance for an emergency forbearance, and all that it will do is eliminate any past due payments that you have.
There's somebody who's read a lot of fine print and gotten a lot of bad news. Arielle in Miami emails us that even just understanding the fine print requires its own college course. She writes, I just spent an hour on the phone with Sallie Mae last night trying to figure out how to repay a $60,000 debt with only part-time work. The fine print now translates into a six-minute blurb at the end of the conversation too fast to understand. What did you say? She writes, there's six question marks there. My financial aid counselor even admits she's not too clear on everything student loans related. University should offer a financial aid course for students. Not knowing how to navigate this maze could ruin your life despite being well-educated.
Well, Larry, a professor in Ann Arbor, Michigan, probably at the University of Michigan, has his own take on the debate. He says, I think one of the causes of the student loan problem is that a college education, it just ain't what it used to be. It costs more and is worth less than, say, 20 or 30 years ago. Students assume the debt is worth it because it's what everyone says, but realize in many cases they're not much better prepared to pay for than when they started.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.